Jesus appeared to John and told him to write words to seven churches. Hear these words to the church at Philadelphia from Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test those who are living on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will come and take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will I leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to be praying for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the church app. Today, I'm continuing our series titled Letters from Jesus. As we look at the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John in a vision while he was in exile. And Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. And though earthquakes do happen in that area, the terrible earthquakes that happened this past week were in another part of Turkey. But certainly our hearts go out to all those who have been affected. Revelation 1:11 reads, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We've seen Jesus had particular words to share with each one of these churches. It was a time of persecution, upheaval, uncertainty. John was writing to encourage the faithful. His style is apocalyptic. It's highly symbolic. It's not easy to understand. And yet, Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of persecution, turmoil, and difficulty. We've already looked at the church in Ephesus, where believers, remember, had forsaken their first love and were encouraged to do what you did at first. We've seen the church at Smyrna, where believers had experienced persecution and were encouraged not to fear. And the church at Pergamum, where some appeared to hold to teaching that was leading to idolatry and sexual immorality in the church, and Jesus called it out. And the church at Thyatira, where some believers were apparently tolerant of sin and teaching that again was leading to idolatry and sexual immorality, and again Jesus called it out. And last week, the church at Sardis looked alive outwardly, but inwardly was spiritually dying. And we've seen each church, each believer is encouraged to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Each person is encouraged to respond to what the Spirit of God says to the churches. For some, it might be to repent and to follow Jesus. For others, it's to keep the faith, trust, believe, or persevere even in times of suffering. And those who overcome will be blessed and enjoy the promises of God. Have you ever wondered what sort of church Jesus might prefer? Do you think he cares about the denomination, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian? Or do you think he cares about the type, rural church, city church, new church, old church, small church, mega church? When we look at these seven churches of Asia Minor, we realize that when Jesus looks at a church, he's not studying outward things. He's looking for the deeper signs of growing faith, fervent love, abiding hope. He wants churches to be motivated by love, founded on the truth, and strong under pressure, unashamed of his name. Of the seven churches, only Smyrna and Philadelphia received no words of correction. None. It's probably not coincidental that both churches were facing strong opposition because of their bold witness. Hard times generally make for strong churches, especially when the hard times come because churches refuse to compromise the gospel. About 35 miles southeast of Sardis, built on a narrow pass between two mountain ranges, Philadelphia stood as a literal doorway to the rest of Asia Minor. This church of brotherly love was the youngest and the smallest of the seven churches, but though small in size, Jesus identifies himself as the one who opens doors. Revelation 3:7. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus opens doors. Post doors in the chat. Sometimes people ask me, how can I know when God has opened a door? There are various answers to that question, but the simplest is, you won't know until you go through that door. Jesus himself, the one who is holy and true, the one who has all authority, he is the one who opens doors for people. It's his job to open doors. He's very good at it, and he doesn't need our help. Our job is to just go through the doors. He opens up one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, going wherever he may lead us. One door may open, we walk through it, and then it may close. That's okay, because another door may open. Sometimes we may have to sit still for a while, waiting for a door to open. I don't know about you, that's not easy for me, but it's still okay. Jesus is sovereign over the doors of life. We can trust him. Jesus is the one who opens doors. Revelation 3:8, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Remember this, Jesus honors faith, not strength. Post faith in the chat. Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, I know you have little strength. Often little strength and great opportunity go hand in hand. Sometimes smaller churches think there is little they can do for the Lord, but it's all a matter of perspective. The church at Philadelphia had little strength. We can assume they didn't have perhaps much money or many influential people, but they did have great, what? Faith. Here's a lesson for all of us. We may not be as wise or as eloquent as someone else, and we may not have the money or the influence of our neighbors. We may not be as educated or as well connected, but we can trust the Lord just as well as anyone. What is it that God honors? Faith. What is it that Jesus is looking for? Faith. What does He reward? Faith. And how much faith does He require? Not much. Faith like a mustard seed. Just a little bit of faith. Not the faith of many years and of deep knowledge. He honors the faith of a child. Simple faith. Notice two wonderful things Jesus said about this church. One, you have kept my word. And secondly, you have not denied my name. The first involves holding fast to the words of Jesus. You have kept my word. May it always be said of you and me, they kept Jesus' words. They love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You saw it in the way they lived. And they love their neighbors as they love themselves. You saw it by the way that they extended love and compassion and grace to all people. To all people who came their way. And you have not, Jesus said, denied my name. In a world where some are not comfortable to share His name and the good news about Jesus because His claims about Himself and His authority and His purpose are out there, even a bit exclusive, nonetheless, we continue to lovingly, graciously, and respectfully declare the truth about Jesus and His name because He is Master, Savior, Messiah, Lord. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Jesus continues to encourage the church at Philadelphia. He promises protection. Revelation 3:10, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Sometimes the best we can do is just endure patiently. Spiritual warfare isn't easy. Sometimes it means not giving up when you feel like throwing in the towel. Our Lord makes a precious promise to these suffering saints. He looks ahead to the hour of trial that will come upon the world before Christ comes to establish His kingdom on the earth. Because they have been faithful, the Lord will keep His people from that time of trial. In the last days, things will be difficult indeed. Scripture often speaks of earthquakes, famines, wars, and rumors of wars that will shake the earth and prepare the world for the coming of the Lord. Though to some degree these things have always been with us, we are more mindful of them today as our hearts again go out to the earthquake victims of Turkey and Syria, as well as our hearts go out to those still devastated by the war in Ukraine. Yes, we watch, we pray, we are mindful of Jesus' words and warnings. We encourage all people to look to Jesus as we seek to be His voice as well as Jesus' hands and feet in the world until that day when He does come. Notice Jesus encourages us to hold on. Revelation 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Yes, in the midst of all the turmoil and uncertainty in the world, we Christ followers hold on to our faith that one day Jesus will indeed come to put things right and to establish His kingdom on the earth, a kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. How will it happen? When will it happen? We don't completely know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever." The details, we don't know. But one day, God's plan will happen. It will unfold. In the meantime, we hold on to what we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about His power to change, to transform any life. Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven to earth to pay the penalty for our sin, to pay the price for our forgiveness, to pay the ransom for our redemption. He gave up His life for us on the cross. We're no longer bound by sin, guilt, or shame, but are set free. Sin and death no longer have reign over us. They have been broken by Jesus' shed blood on the cross. And now we can enjoy new life and new freedom and new power from God as we walk in the light of God's love, grace, and Holy Spirit. Yes, we watch. We pray. We get our own house in order. We take care of those loose ends and make sure that all of our relationships are good. And we continue to stick close to Jesus as the Lord, the Savior of our lives, seeking to live out His great commission and His great commandment. And remember this, Jesus rewards overcomers. Him who overcomes, the scripture says, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The challenge to overcome is one we face every day. There are many struggles we face in the spirit as well as in the midst of life. Some of us face big challenges like surgery, loss of a job, or even dealing with a broken marriage or relationship. No doubt these experiences call us to live by faith. But there are other great challenges we face too, like I will get out of bed today. Or I will go to work or school even though I don't enjoy it. Or I will be kind instead of rude today. I will forgive when it would be easier to get even. I will not lose my temper with my children, my friends, my spouse, or my colleagues today. This also is where overcomers are made. It's easy to read Jesus' letters to these churches and imagine overcomers being some super special breed of Christian who live on a plane, you know, far above the rest of us. But it's not so. We are all called to be overcomers every single day because we have a lot to overcome. How about temptations galore, frustrations on every hand, disagreeable people, difficult situations, unexpected setbacks, angry critics, internal discouragement, chronic pain, friends who aren't very friendly, personal failures known only to us. There are always reasons to give up, always reasons to quit. But those who persevere will not give up even when they feel like it, even when everything in us says, walk away from this mess. To those brave souls who keep on keeping on with Him one day, Jesus is the one who will welcome us home. Let's pray together. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you for Jesus' words to the church at Philadelphia. This was another church facing difficulty and opposition, and you commended them and tried to build them up, though they had little strength left. Nonetheless, they had to keep your word and not deny your name. Oh Lord, may that always be said of us too, that we kept your word, that we never denied your name. Oh Jesus, help us stick close to you. Help us to find our identity and strength and protection and love in you. Fill us with your spirit of grace and truth. You are the one who helps us to overcome. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to care for and reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one who calls us to keep His word and to hold on to what we have received. For now, what one thing can you do to respond best to these words from Jesus?
Okay, before we get started, I just want to say something.
Yes.
To the guy who invented zero, thanks for nothing.
The Spring Women's Bible Study is focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a study of blessedness, a reflection on the Lord's Prayer, a discussion of religious devotion, money, ambition, and relationships. Sign up at the Connection Center.
Full Circle Worship meets on the second Wednesday and fourth Sunday of the month. Full Circle is an interactive experience beginning with worship and ending in small groups. You won't want to miss it.
Ash Wednesday is February 22nd. We'll have an opportunity for an imposition of ashes from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and an Ash Wednesday service at 6.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.